Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. My name is Matt Hudson from What I Watch Tonight, and joining me from across the pond, he is the body and the blood, it's John Burke from Burke Reviews. How you doing, sir?
I am doing quite well, sir. How are you doing this day?
I'm doing very, very well. Excited to talk about tonight's spoiler minisode for The Exorcist Believer. We gave the majority of our thoughts on the non-spoiler review a few days ago. So if you want to hear us kind of really dive into the technical aspects of the nitty-gritty of the film, go check that out, because tonight we're going to be talking about the spoilerific details which we could not get into on the main show. Now, I happen to think this film was pretty good, and by that I mean it wasn't the dumpster fire I thought it was going to be. JB, on the other hand, this is right at the very bottom of his films for 2023, so he came at this from a different angle, which is why The Bamp is so damn good, because we can have a great discussion about it and agree and disagree with each other's points very well. But I think one of the points that we were both agreeing on straight away from the up, JB, DDD, David Gordon Green, has brought back Ellen Burstyn's character of Chris McNeil. She was all over the marketing. If you've seen the trailers, you've seen 99% of her performance. For me, and I know for you, this decision did not work. John, why didn't it work for you?
I mean, there's a ton of reasons. One, the demon that possesses the girls. I assume it's one demon. I'm actually uncertain about a lot of that. But it's never said to be the demon from the original Exorcist, correct?
It's implied, because when Angela, who is played by Lydia Jewett, she is in the hospital, I believe. She's scratching Reagan's name on the wooden frame. And of course, Chris says, you know, we've met before, which is thankfully a different reading to the one in the trailer. So it's heavily implied.
But it's implied, and they do nothing with that. So even if it is, like, who cares, right? Like, why? And there's so many questions, like, why would it have an agenda towards this mother and towards Reagan all these years later?
Not seen, like, Jaws what? Revenge, John. Went the whole width of the coast to get that family.
But then why wouldn't it just possess Reagan again? Like, what, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's stopping that from happening?
Well, it's where you are in life, isn't it? In the first film, Reagan was troubled by the divorce of her parents and a few other things, and that's what let the demon in. And now,
he's probably better off. But if Pazuzu, right? If that demon has a vendetta against Reagan, I don't know why now. Why 50 years later? There's so many things about that existence that you're just like, well. And then again, if you're gonna make Chris McNeil as a character, this exorcism expert that he needs to cite. they don't do that. They claim it at first, and then he gets there and she's like, well, I don't really know anything. And then you're also like, oh, well, there's this whole, like, breaking outside of the Catholic Christian exorcism process, which is interesting, because most of these films fall onto that, because it is where I actually have never done any real research if there's ever been a legitimate Catholic exorcism, like, notation, or if that's just lore. I feel like it could just be lore, but it also could be grounded in some truth. I'm you know, who knows? I don't know. But most of these movies fall into that realm where it's a Catholic priest doing the exorcism, right? Like, that is the formula. So this movie attempting to break out of it, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And because, like, they're talking about how there's exorcisms in all these different religions and all these different beliefs. And so, like, it makes it feel even more likely that this could be real. Because if all of the religions think this is a practice, then it's more likely that it's legitimate. And so bringing her in as this expert who's done all this research, and then not using that, it not mattering, and her falling victim in what I can only argue is one of the dumbest. It's like, have you not been inside a room with the demon? Like, what are you doing? Two priests who were versed in this were taken out systematically by Pazuzu. Why do you think you stand a chance?
Yeah, and it's the way that it's the kind of the dodgy way that it's written. Again, as somebody who thought the film was fine, Leslie Odom Jr. goes one way, and he just lets even in the film, like, a 90-year-old woman walk into essentially the belly of hell with a possessed kid. And I like the scene for what it is. I think it's creepy. I think it's well shot.
It's one of the best.
You know, it's it's an evil scene. I mentioned on the non-spoiler, there are some scenes which are, you know, it's a nasty scene. Woman gets her eyes gouged out by a crucifix. It's not a nice visual, it's not a nice scene. But it's, yeah, like I said, the variables around it. How do we get to that? It's, yeah. No, I don't speak to you, even though I don't really know what I'm doing. It's, I feel there's a better way to do that book.
So many better ways. And even she starts like with the random prayer, like it sounds so not rehearsed. And then where they really use her terribly is during the actual exorcism of the two girls, they just keep cutting to her face.
Oh, I didn't get that, and I still don't.
It makes no sense, and it's like just like a frame. It's almost like, hey, don't forget she exists. It's like, but why are you showing her right now? It makes no
sense. That is Halloween Enzy to me, where,
oh, God.
Where what's this called? Corey, or his name was, would look into Michael's eyes and he'd get possessed. Something, I don't know, again, I don't know, but it, at the end, it almost made it feel like she was, Chris McNeil was influencing the decision right at the end or trying to stop it.
Yeah.
Because, what, because the demon touched her by cutting her eyes out or something? Is there, are they going to have something like that where she's now kind of connected to this? Because she's not clairvoyant, she doesn't have any power.
Since the 20s, we've had a thing called the Kuleshov effect. My students know very, very well if you put two images next to each other, that the audience is going to attempt to make meaning out of it. Thus, when you do it and there's no meaning, it's stupid and irritating. And it's like, what are you even trying to do here? Because I want it to have meaning. If you have taken the time to insert a frame of this important to the franchise character, then there should be a reason, and there isn't. And that is so frustrating.
Have the eye gouging during the exorcism. Have Chris McNeil do little bits and bobs throughout the film if she needs to be in there. I argue now, I can say it. The YouTube video she's in, the book, that was the only connection you needed. You did not need to bring it. We all know why they did. Same as why they bought JLC back in Halloween. But you didn't need to do it. But have that done at the end, so at least we can feel like they've got the money's worth of Ellen Burstyn, and she can still have the reunion at the end. But we just don't get that ridiculous, like putting her hands to the heaven and trying to push the devil back and all that.
The real reason is the thing that we avoided in the spoiler-free episode, because IMDb has Linda Blair listed as the number one top-billed cast member. And yeah, she's at the end of the film as what is definitely supposed to be a little bit of fanfare that I found gross, because I also don't think this movie has any real connection to that original outside of this moment. But it's such a big, like the audience I was with cheered, and I said, stop it, like out loud. I was very like, no, do not applaud this shameless, like, everyone could have seen that coming, because that's what this movie is going to try to do. But Linda Blair has obviously beloved as Reagan, but has a very troubled history with her fans, I think, because of the second Exorcist. She's had a tough life. She's done a lot of horror films. She obviously has a fan following, and yes, great. She's going to get maybe an opportunity for resurgence, but the way they used her is terrible. Like, you know, she could have come in earlier, but I don't know. Before we move on from that, is there any comments on the Linda Blair cameo, I guess?
Listen, I mean, I liked it because it gave me the feel, which is what it's meant to do, of course.
But yes, exactly.
Of course, you step back, you levitate over the bed like Reagan did once before, and look at it from realistically, and it is fan service as fan service becomes. Because Linda Blair, she's not an actress anymore. She runs Fantastic Animal Charity and has done that for decades now. Didn't want to be in the film, certainly in a wider role. Not that she didn't want to be in it, let me rephrase that. She didn't want a large role in this film. Maybe she'll have one in the next film, I don't know, but it's she hasn't acted for a long time, so that worries me a little bit.
If not, that makes me hate this even more. You know what I'm saying? Like, if she's not going to have like a functional role in the next films, then this was the worst case of fan service ever,
I mean, what happens in the next film? I don't know. We'll get to that. I know, quick. But so did I hate it? No, of course not. I thought, you know, it did what it's meant to do for me. It's more kitsch, it's sentimental. It worked. Did I cry? No. It's not Ghostbusters Afterlife level here. But
nope.
I knew it was coming from a mile off.
You
could see it coming. Chris McNeil couldn't, but we could all see it coming from a mile off. And of course, I'm sorry. There's the cruelty moment of she never gets to see her daughter again. But this film is cruel, and the ending, I think the ending of this film is dastardly, and I loved it. My own mother said it's not a Disney ending, and I loved it, because I know you had, I believe, worries in this film, because at the end, Catherine and Andrew, they're tied up to chairs, they're spewing vapor, which I thought was bloody awful. But the rest of the exorcism I thought was actually pretty great. But at the end, the devil makes the parents choose. You know, like at the beginning, we get a great switcheroo where Leslie Odom Jr.'s character Victor had to choose between his dying wife or the child inside of her. We assume he chose Angela. We assume he did because she's alive. Turns out he didn't. Turns out he chose to save his wife, but the devil had other ideas, or God had other ideas. And that's used as a plot point. Again, I think that's wicked, yeah. As in cruel. And then they have to choose. And that's the arc. The arc is he's not a believer and all this, but he isn't going to make that choice. And Catherine's mother isn't going to make that choice. It's the father who eventually breaks. He's not been in this a lot in the exorcism because he clearly isn't right of mind. He comes in and says, I choose you. I choose you. And God played a trick on them because they went there. And they also said it in the movie as well, I will say, is that Andrea, she had the protection spell at the beginning, whatever, fine. But there's one line where they say, Catherine was not baptized. Now, that was said in the film. So when people are like, well, how come she didn't have the protection? Because I've seen people saying, and I can't believe people have said this, well, Catherine's family were devout Christians. They go to church every day, week. How come that doesn't afford her the protection? It literally said in the film, she wasn't baptized. So she's open to this kind of stuff. And that's the way it was. I do think there's a lot of things people are overlooking. Not to say it's well written.
That's definitely there. However, I was really surprised of all the weird writing stuff that they offer the choice and that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man arrives because. Oh wait, I'm sorry. That's a like that. Turns up. The line read choose. I was just like, it might as well be Gozer. the voice kind of sounded like, you know, there is no Dana, only Zool. Like, there was a lot of stuff like that that I had a hard time getting past because I was already not pleased with the film, so I was finding
it easier. See. I didn't mind it.
And in that moment, in the exorcism moment, we have a Baptist preacher who is I think it's Baptist. They never say for sure what denomination, but it has very Baptist vibes.
Southern Baptist.
What do you know about that, Mr. Europe? I'm from the South. No, we have, I don't know what the religion is from Haiti type thing.
Different faiths, different religions. Yeah.
Based, still Christian based though. Cause she talks about Jesus even. So it's not like not there, but, they mentioned snake charming and stuff too. At one point that the guy like earlier, some dumb scenes, by the way, when he comes home and they're in his house and the door is open, like, okay, first of all, rude to go in someone's house without permission. Two, why would you leave his door open? Like, well, that kind of nonsense is that? Like, none of that works.
Disagree. Cannot disagree with that. It's ridiculous.
It's so bad. So they're all they're like, and then Ann Dowd, who was gonna be a nun and then didn't become a nun, and that's actually one of the more like scary parts of me is when it calls her out on that. And I thought they introduced an idea of like abortion and they could have talked about it, but no, they had no actual commentary to get into with it. But she's spouting stuff. The Baptist preach guy is spouting stuff. The other lady's doing things. And like, it seems to be working for a minute. And then finally the Catholic priest who was denied ability to do the exorcism kicks in the door, LeBron James style. Here's the goat. And everyone just stops what they're doing.
Oh, I love this.
As like, oh, he's here now, baby. And like, they're just like letting him do it. And then he gets his neck broke. But like, I thought it was so cheesy. And also I think the worst part of the exorcism sequence, because it doesn't make any sense other than it's a cool visual, is the two girls expelling the smoke and then like the smoke from the fireplace. Like there's like a smoke battle. Like, yeah. I thought that was just awful. So all of that.
And it's when it remained grounded and it was just, you know, the battle of wills. I'm into that. Same as the original.
Yeah, same.
You get things like people levitating and all that, but it's played so damn well and so grounded. The performances are outstanding in the original. If they just carried on like the vapor and like, oh, she's, you know, she's burning up. Great. And the smoke, it's like, that's too far. And the bit at the end when she expels that kind of black goo from her mouth and it goes into the ceiling, starts swirling. I don't need to see that because it then becomes supernatural and that's not CG. What it should be to me. And CG and the practical effects and the makeup, I think are great. This isn't going to get any awards noms, but I think the makeup on these girls is really quite good. I think,
I also, in terms of story structure, they start like screwing down the chairs and getting everything ready. And like the fact that they're able to take her out of the mental institution so easily, considering like all of that feels so contrived and so movie, and it shouldn't. Like it doesn't need to feel like it's the same day. Like it should be that they're for days they're getting ready for this big exorcism moment, and instead it feels like, oh crap, we probably shouldn't have waited to the last minute to get everything set up. Like, no, you shouldn't have. Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you waiting to the last minute? Like, it's bad storytelling.
Too quickly, which is what I've said to you many times. Yeah, it gets to where it needs to be too quickly, with too much being missed out, or too many kind of, and then we went to the hospital and took her out of it because, you know, there's somebody you should meet called Chris Neal. Well, I don't want to. Next scene, he's at the house. Next scene, Chris McNeil was at the kid's house. Next scene, she's got her eyes out.
Yada, yada, yada. The yada, 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 all of the stuff that's important.
Hand wave too much, and I don't like that. I think it starts well. I love the first hour of this film. I really do really like it. The missing girl thing and the whole idea that we're going to go somewhere different. The difference is, though, I like the third act, so I didn't have that huge drop off that I know a lot of other people have had. JB,
I was when they showed the location where the girls like apparently found like this like part of a basement or something, I was really hoping it was going to tie into Barbarian, because I was like, hey, this looks like the entry to the Barbarian house, but it didn't, and that made me sad. But
now that's a good horror film.
Yeah. Is a great horror film, and one, again, an original one that doesn't try to live up to a standard that it can't. Stop living in an IP world, Hollywood. Please let writers write.
You had the chance to do something differently, which they did to start with. Yeah, there are callbacks and nods and winks in the filmmaking and the prologue and the way you shot, but that's fine. Do that. Halloween had the same, but that also worked well because it stands alone as a really good film by itself, Halloween 2018. But listen, I like the ending. I like that they made a decision, apparently. I say that because we've got at least another film, if not two. I like the decision they made where they're like, do you know what? We're going to kill this kid and it's going to stick. In fact, we're going to show her going to hell, essentially, which a lot of people wanted to see more of. And I don't need to see the kids being possessed. We saw a little flashback here and there. I don't need to see anything like that because it's implied. It's how you then deliver that. I didn't mind it quite as much. Did I want more meat on the bone? Yes. Could the film have done it? Yes. Could the film have done with better writers? 1,000%. I have no issue with David Gordon Green directing it. I don't necessarily think the direction is the issue here. Yeah,
that might be accurate.
It's the writing here, which really lets things down. And I'm not going to go into it. Check the non-spoiler review. This has got the studio all over it. At the end of Exorcist 3, a guy called Father Morning turns up out of nowhere to do an exorcism because Morgan Creek said so. In this film, at the end, Father, I don't even know what the guy's name is, turns up. I know he'd been a few scenes before. Turns up, like you say, like he's the goat, gets his neck snapped, bash. It smacks of studio interference where they just need to have, you've got to tick the boxes, JB. And the film ticked lots of boxes. For me, it worked a bit more than you did, well, quite a bit more, but I want more next time.
I will say, just one of the things that I was unaware of when I saw The Exorcist for the first time a few years ago, first like full time, I saw it as a kid and it traumatized me, as an adult where I actually was watching it as a film person, I had never realized that the movie's called The Exorcist because it's about the person who does the exorcisms, hence the name. This movie is not that, and I think that's where a lot of these other films do fail, is that they make it about the kid who is possessed, or they make it about the demon, or they make it about the overall kind of idea of being possessed and it being exorcised, versus it being about the person who does this. Like, what is the job? What is their life like? What are they going through? What is their connection to God? And this guy is supposed to do that in three scenes, I think. Like, he gets no time. We don't really get his name. Like, it's said, but it's said in the background. He's fighting for it, but you don't see him. He's not a relevant character. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, what you said. It's just terrible, terrible writing. And that's where I think this movie could have been better. If they had maybe, I'm not saying it needs to be him as the protagonist, but if you're going to make, Chris McNeil show up and act like she's an expert, maybe we need to make the movie hers, or maybe we need to have Odom Jr. decide after talking to her that he will learn what he needs to be able to do the exorcism himself, because he doesn't believe anyone else will love his daughter like he does. And so he will do it, or something like that. Make it because they started it about him and then they don't really dive deep enough into him, or at least he doesn't make enough of a change, in my opinion, to arc like a protagonist needs to. And I, that's where I feel like just across the board, they don't know who the story's about. And that's why it feels bad at the end to me.
Yep. Well, I think, have you anything else you want to add, JB, before we wrap up? Because they're the major moments that we couldn't touch upon, I think.
Yeah. No, I think that's everything.
Yeah, there we go. So I'm more up on it than JB. Some gnarly imagery. I had a good enough time with it, but it could have been better. And for JB, it could have been way better. But that is our spoiler minisode then for The Exorcist Believer. Hopefully Deceiver, whatever it's called, is going to be much better. Hopefully they've learned their lesson, but I wouldn't hold out any hope. Anyway, I wouldn't be a believer in that. We'd love to know what you guys thought of The Exorcist Believer. Are you one of the 76% who didn't like this? Are you one of the 24 who seemingly did like it? Are you me or are you Team John? We'd love to know. You can find us online. You can find us on Twitter or X at BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast. John, where can the world find us on Instagram?
At Bloody Awesome Movie Pod.
Yes, sir. Facebook, Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. If you want to talk film with me, you can do at whatiwatchtonight.co.uk or just search What I Watch Tonight across all of the socials, including Letterboxd. John, where can I talk film with you?
I'm at burkereviews.com and at burkereviews on all the social media platforms. And like he said, including Letterboxd.
Boom. There we go. Don't forget, guys, we've got our 2023 horror movie Havoc bracket going on our social. So please get involved in that and vote along with us. And we'll be back in next week with a spoiler review for Totally Killer. But until then, guys, from me, stay bloody awesome
and keep watching movies. Blah, 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 blah.